Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to The Look Ahead, part of the SB Nation NFL show. I am Rob Stats Guerrera. He is RJ Ochoa. What's up, RJ?
How goes it, Stats? Great to be with you. Great to see your bright, shiny face. I have a question for you as soon as we get settled. It's my favorite question in the history of the world.
All right. Well, before we do that, we want to remind you that the SB Nation NFL show is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNNFL only at DraftKings. All right. What is this all-important question that you have posed to me?
What is the fastest drive-through in America? As far as national brands are concerned. Like, I'm not talking the little mom and pop in your hometown. What if you go to most cities in America, what has on average the fastest drive through?
I would assume Taco Bell.
Wrong. Okay. I don't have the answer. Like, to be clear, like, I don't have like a study or something that I
then
measure.
What are you talking about?
I was curious for your opinion. Is that your opinion?
I guess you ask me a random drive through question. You throw the brakes on the show. Ask me a random drive-through question and then don't even have the answer?
I mean, I have an opinion. I have a take. That's the whole point of the show. But I don't have like an answer founded in fact. No, I don't. So, I mean, sorry.
So what was the point of asking me the question?
I wanted to see what you thought. I was curious for your opinion. Okay. And if you think it's Taco Bell, then I really regret asking you. I wish all I hadn't, you know, wasted all this time.
We're off to a bad...
The answer's Chick-fil-A, by the way, just to be very clear. They're lightning fast.
Okay. That's sort of a weird start, but that's where we begin. If you're new to the show, first of all, thank you. We want to remind you, rate, review, and follow the SB Nation NFL show. This is a show where normally we take deep dives into the biggest games of the week and hit every other game in a lightning round. Now, we are going to do that, but RJ, we cannot have an NFL show without discussing the biggest football news of the day, and that is... the fact that overnight, the Jacksonville Jaguars ended what I think is the single worst head coaching tenure in the history of the National Football League. They have fired Urban Meyer. Darrell Bevell will be the interim head coach for the rest of the season.
You know, I think it's amazing how you can't get anybody to agree on anything, right? I mean, like, I just asked you the drive-through thing, and we can't even agree on what the fastest drive-through in America is. I'm right and you're wrong, just for the record. But... this is one of those things where it was universally agreed. Like, you know, there's nobody who thought this was a good decision. I can understand. I can't really understand, but I suppose you know, if you looked at Urban Meyer's football resume only, you know, you would say, look, the guy won a lot in college, whatever, but given the context of who he is, nobody thought this was going to end in any way other than this. Now, obviously nobody could have forecasted the exact specifics, but the controversies that befell Urban Meyer in his not even full year as the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach, but Stats, it was universally agreed that this was a horrendous, horrific, awful, ill-timed, not even ill-timed, just awful decision in totality, and that it would end in spectacular disaster. So not only is it super rare that everyone agreed on that, but everyone agreed on that and everybody was right. I mean, like, that the odds of that are so microscopic that it really is amazing that Shad Khan is the only person seemingly on earth that was not aware of what was going to unfold when it came to hiring Urban Meyer.
This is a situation where the second Urban Meyer chose not to fly back with the team, he should have been fired. The second that happened, Shad Khan should have known right then this wasn't going to work. And, you know, I've made the similar mistake, RJ. You know, I've talked about it. I hired people to build a deck this summer. The first thing you got to do when you build a deck, is you got to dig holes in the ground for the support beams. They're called footings. It's just a hole, Bear. It's just a hole. And the people that I hired didn't dig the hole deep enough and failed the first inspection. Right then, when you can't dig a hole deep enough, you can't do that right, I should have fired him. I didn't. It led to a whole disaster. I had to fire him weeks later. It was terrible. And that's exactly what happened with the Jags and Urban Meyer. The second he didn't get on that plane, he should have been out. And the more we found out about the situation, the worse Urban Meyer looked.
I agree with you. I don't care why he didn't get on the plane. Like, the morality of why he didn't get on the plane is obviously not good. But the fact that he just chose, like, even if he stayed back to watch a movie or whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, you, it, everything you said is still accurate and still holds up. But again, when you inject the morality and the reality of what happened, obviously not a good look for him. I mean, it's been amazing, you know, just kind of, not that anybody is like unaware of any of these things, but looking at the timelines, I know Big Cat Country did a great job. You know, our SB Nation Jacksonville Jaguars blog, kind of like there was a huge, massive, you know, like barely fit on my like one, you know, window of my phone without having to scroll up or down list of transgressions that, yep, that Urban Meyer has as the head. Again, like, we're not talking about somebody with like Andy Reid's tenure of time, or you know what I mean? We're talking about somebody who's been in the NFL for less than a full year. Yep. I mean, do you think the Josh Lambeau story on Wednesday was the straw that broke the camel's back? I mean,
yes.
I think that this reveals that, and I don't know that anybody doubted Josh Lambeau's word, who went to the greatest school in the world, by the way, Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas. But this definitely proves that absolutely happened, in case you did doubt it to some degree.
And for those that don't know, apparently Urban Meyer kicked Josh Lambeau in the leg during warmups. And Josh Lambeau said, "What are you doing? Don't kick me." Urban Meyer said, "I'm the head ball coach. I'll kick you if I want to kick you." Obviously, Josh Lambeau did not take well to that. I mean, just that sentence alone, RJ, you're a Game of Thrones fan. You remember that scene, right, where Tywin Lannister said, "Any man who must say I am the king is no true king." If you have to tell people you're the head coach, you have no respect by anybody on that team. And by the way, head ball coach? Like, dude, this isn't Pop Warner anymore. You're in the National Football League. You're coaching professional athletes. I'm the head ball coach? That just screams a guy that is used to being in charge of kids and not men.
It's, again, astounding how this was so predictable, that his antics, as successful as they were from a results standpoint in the world of college football, mm-hmm, it's astounding that anyone, let alone somebody in the position of power that Shad Khan is, would purposefully, in full consciousness, seemingly a full sound mind, make the decision to sign up for this. And, you know, I'm not saying that the Jaguars were the top job in the offseason, but they had everything ahead of them. They had all, you know, and that, let's not, you know, forget that the Jaguars have dealt with culture problems before. Remember, there was all, that's why Jalen Ramsey wanted out. Everybody has hated the Jaguars and crapped on different eras of culture. And they had all the salary cap space in the world. They had the number one pick. They had Trevor Lawrence coming to town. They had everything working for them. They finally got rid of those awful uniforms. They're well in the mirror as a thing of the past. And I mean, I just like, what, how do you have faith? Like, how do you have faith if you're a Jaguars fan? Like, yes, you have Trevor Lawrence, and that's probably the answer. Like, he's just your hope at this point, that maybe, you know, he starts to sort of blossom into what a lot of people believe that he can be. But like, how can you trust whoever Shad Khan hires? How can you trust that it's going to be different? How, I mean, it's so, you know, the stats. I mean, it's exhausting to get excited for a new head coach that whole first offseason, because you're, yep, you're wondering, what are they going to bring in? What's it going to be like? How's it going to compare to where they've been before, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the Jaguar fan base has to go through that same song and dance again, just 1 year later. It's embarrassing.
And you know, that first press conference for any head coach, right? I promise you, I can't promise you we're going to win right away, but I promise you we're going to work hard. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to go, we're going to make this city proud. It's like you could just write the quotes basically now. But I think, RJ, that this is the worst head coaching tenure in the history of the NFL. Like, Bobby Petrino was 3-10, but at least he left himself, right? He abandoned the team. He
also
get
at least
fired.
Left a note, you know, some right, some sign of remorse at least.
Like, Steve Spurrier used to cancel practice when it rained, and that's still less embarrassing than what happened with the Jags. Belichick's head coaching tenures with the Jets were less embarrassing than that. Like, this is hideously bad. From the second Urban Meyer was hired, he had to fire his strength and conditioning coach, who appears to be a giant racist. He didn't fly back with the team. He called his assistant coaches losers. And then this whole kicking thing with Josh Lambeau. Like, it has been an utter disaster for Urban Meyer. And I think it's the worst head coaching tenure of all time. Do you have anybody that's worse?
I don't. And again, I think that contextually what makes it even worse than what you've already outlined as the worst is that it was not to the specific detail, but it was 100% predictable that he would make decisions like this, you know? Yep. And that's the thing, like, so often, like, you know, somebody says like, oh, X team should draft Y player and then it will work out. And I'm not saying that people don't, you know, believe that with conviction, but there is some, like, not luck, but there is some, like, you know, just life involved in that happening and things kind of coming to fruition and panning out. It is, again, extremely impressive that the entire world knew this would happen, that everybody was in unison on that idea, and yep. that everybody, like, what has the whole world been right about, like, together, like the collective? What has everybody been right about before?
RJ, we can't even all agree that the earth is round.
I agree with you. I feel badly for Jaguars fans. I don't know what you have. I really don't.
Bears fired up about it. Even Hugh Jackson, because I've seen some people say that Hugh Jackson's tenure was worse. But Hugh Jackson at least lasted long enough to lose that many games. He was there for, I think, 3 years in Cleveland. Like, Urban was so bad and so embarrassing, he couldn't even keep the job long enough to lose those games.
I also think Hugh Jackson's tenure was more respected, because when Hugh Jackson was hired, you know, leaving Cincinnati, there was reason to believe, you know, that there was that offense had a lot of success. And so it was fair to assume that he would be a legitimate head coach. Obviously, I think keeping him around after the winless season, like, that, again, like, it became a self-fulfilling prophecy of, like, memedom. And that worked against Hugh ultimately.
But he was bad as a coach on the field, but he didn't do anything off the field to embarrass the franchise like Urban Meyer has. Like, Urban, when you don't fly back with the team, you make Shad Khan look like a moron for hiring you. You embarrass the owner.
Well, and the thing about that was, not to cut you off, but, like, it wasn't like that, you know, like, today is December 16th. It wasn't like that was, you know, November 12th. It was early. It was so early. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like they were mathematically eliminated or anything at that point in time.
No,
it was just super duper early, and he was already checked out.
All right. So that's where the Jaguars are. Daryl Bevel is going to be in charge now, and we'll see where that goes the rest of the way. They got to get that right. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is too important to just leave up to Daryl Bevel. Like, figure it out, Jaguars. Come on. This is your chance. This is your shot to be relevant. Try not to screw it up.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay, let's begin our first deep dive of the day. And we have to begin. There's no better place to begin than tonight's matchup. Kansas City in LA to take on the Chargers. The Chargers are getting 3 points in this one, RJ. This is going to be so much fun. I think that this is the best quarterback rivalry going right now.
Wow, the disrespect for Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know anybody that's going to disagree with that. It's also like this is got, you know, I'm not saying I don't enjoy the broadcast of anything, but this is like the Fox crew and the NFL Network crew. I would say the NFL Network crew specifically, love them. Love the Thursday Night Football crew. There will be a lot of like shining on SoFi Stadium.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because this is NFL Network's home. So this is like a heavy, heavy, heavy. This is also, you know, effectively the week before Christmas. I know there's still a Thursday night game next week, but there's going to be poinsettias in all likelihood on the set. You know what I mean? So like, you got that factor going on here. It is massive, and it's massive in that, you know, the Chargers over the last, I don't know, maybe prior to the last couple of weeks, the month before that, they were the person in the horror movie that, you know, knocked the bad guy out and left him on the ground with the gun or the sword or whatever.
And just assume like, everything yeah, went
and,
to play.
And just walked away. And not that the Chiefs are like back, but this is it. Like, okay, Chargers, you want us to believe you have looked up at everybody else in the AFC West, except for the Raiders, because they're the Raiders. You have looked up at the Broncos. There was like, what, like 5 straight years that the Broncos won the AFC West. You've looked up at the Chiefs now forever. Enough. You be the team. You have the quarterback. You have the future. You have the stadium that everybody wants to show and bring their Thursday Night Football set to. This is is this the biggest game for the Chargers this century?
This century?
What like regular season game?
Okay, yeah, regular season game. Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's close. If they win this game, they're in first place in the AFC West. They seem to have been able to beat Kansas City recently. They won the game earlier this year. Yeah, that's a good question. I think I would have to agree with you.
I mean, it's big in the narrative, like what this means. This could give them the division, give them the lead, however you want to put it. I mean, this could go a long way for the Chargers at, you know, cementing themselves as the top threat. I mean, the number one seed in the AFC is still up for grabs. Like, I mean, we have a month left. I mean, anything can happen if you reclaim the AFC West.
And here's the thing about Kansas City. They're really good on the road. Do you know?
The Muffin Man?
That Kansas City, excuse me.
It's okay, Stats. My dog barked and I had to have you carry me. I'm here to carry you now.
Thank you. Yeah, my voice is not cooperating. Kansas City is 18-3 on the road since 2019. 18-3. That's the best in the NFL, but I'm still not totally confident in their offense. I know they look good against the Raiders, but here's the thing. If you take out those two Raiders games, the Chiefs are scoring just 22 points a game. That is not overwhelming. Los Angeles, excuse me, can certainly keep up with them. So this is just going to be so much fun. I want to see this kind of turn out like the Monday Nighter between the Cards and the Rams, where Stafford and Kyler were just chucking the ball all over the place. Like, give me Mahomes and Herbert doing that exact same thing for an hour, please.
I would enjoy that. I also, in a weird way, would enjoy like a Chargers beatdown of the Chiefs, just because, you know, it would inspire the narrative of, well, you know, the Chiefs, like what you just said, oh, they can only do it against the Raiders. Mm-hmm. The Chargers are back, whatever. It would be interesting. Like, Twitter would be fun to follow and track throughout it all. What is the line, Stats? It is Chiefs by 3. Chargers getting 3.
Chargers getting 3. Yes.
Chargers getting 3. I will take that. And as a reminder for everybody, Stats and I have a holiday mm-hmm. Christmas competition going on here on the Look Ahead, where anytime we disagree on a line here, we write it down, we make a little wager of sorts, and at the end of the regular season, we have a formula we're putting together, and we'll reveal it as we get closer and closer, but we're going to make a donation. The loser is going to make a donation to charity, and it looks like that's going to be you, Stats. I won week 13. We had 5 games that week, and I won 3-2. So I entered last week with an advantage. We had 3 games that we disagreed on last week. Bucks, Bills, I took Tampa to cover, and they did at the very end. So that was one for me. Cowboys,
beat.
Washington, I gave you 3.5 points, and don't worry about it. My Cowboys took care of everything. I obviously was down on the Broncos, who did impress me. Obviously had a very emotional game last week. So I gave you even Steven line when it came to that game. Not that the Broncos needed it. They took care of Detroit very easily. So in totality stats, I have 5 correct games so far. You have 3. I am up by 2 on you. So do you want to make it a 3-game lead that I have? Are you willing to take Kansas City?
I am willing to take Kansas City. Ooh. So I will take Kansas City. I will give the points. I think the Chiefs defense is going to slow down the Chargers a little bit. When Kansas City played them earlier this year, they had 4 turnovers that led to 21 Charger points. I don't think the Chiefs are going to turn it over that much in this game. And if they don't, I think they're going to score enough points to win. What do you think about that?
I think that's stupid and dumb, and I disagree with it.
By the way, just real quick, you mentioned that the poinsettias are going to be out on the set for this game. I have an irrational love when they start to put the little snow graphics on the score.
Not the snow, the lights.
The lights.
Oh, dude, like a thing I've said forever is when the poinsettias are out on the set, it's meaningful football. You know what I'm saying? Like when you've got that going on.
Yep.
It's big boy football. But you're right. The little twinkling lights, that usually, though, only comes like the actual weekend of Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know why I love it so much, but I just like that. Then it's like, okay, now we're in the holiday season when the little graphics come out. They get a little cute there. All right, let's go to Indianapolis now. This is a Saturday game. I like the Saturday football games, too, at the end of the season. Patriots at the Colts. The Colts are favored by 2.5 points.
The Colts are favored. Just to be very clear, I want to say this out loud so everybody understands that Stats didn't mistype this.
No, the Colts are favored by 2.5 points.
You did mistype it. Yeah, actually.
I got the spread right, but I threw an extra period in there for some reason. Stunning to me. How are
Dibs
the Colts
on New England.
Favored?
Dibs on New England, first of all, if you care to take Indianapolis. But I don't know. The Colts are so weird, and like, I don't know. My life has been really busy personally. You all know that lately. The Colts are so, like, the point I'm getting at, I'm not even caught up on their season of Hard Knocks. Like, that's how interesting the Colts are to me. You know what I mean? Like, normally I'm living and dying with Hard Knocks, and I realize this is the first in-season, you know, Hard Knock season, whatever, and so it's a little bit different. You know, we're all busy in holiday stuff and whatever, but they're just, like, they're fine. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, you know, like last night, it's like, do I want to watch Survivor, The Challenge, or Hard Knocks? And it's like, it's not a competition. Like, they're just, they're not boring. They're not exciting. They're just there. You know, that's who the Colts are to me. The performance against Tampa a couple of weeks ago was impressive, but I mean, nobody believes they can beat the Patriots. Nobody really believes this. Like, and you can talk all you want about Josh McDaniels and the rivalry, like, oh, whatever. You're gonna get smoked in this game, Colts. That's okay.
Don't poo-poo that. I love that. Josh McDaniels going back to Indy for the first time since he left them at the altar in 2018, taking the job and then saying, actually, I changed my mind. I'm going back to New England. The Patriots have won 7 straight. The Colts have won 4 out of their last 5. But this is why I got to go with New England. I got some stats on this game that blew me away.
Way to go, Rob. Getting stats.
First of all, the Patriots are 6-0 on the road this year, 5-1 against the spread. So that's encouraging. But listen to this. The Patriots defense this year is giving up 15.4 points a game. That's the best in the league. Over the past month, they're giving up 7.2 points per game. And on the season, the Patriots are giving up 2.4 points in the fourth quarter this year. That is incredible to me. I don't know how Bill Belichick is doing it, but I mean, he's coach of the year.
He really is. I subplot to this game, one that our mutual co-host Brandon Lee Gowden would enjoy. This, you know, why the Colts are going to lose this game and why the Patriots are going to win
is
this is Carson Wentz's press game. Like, this is him, like, you know what? Now I get the chance to play Bill Belichick. I know he had the chance in 2019, you know, with the Eagles, but now I've got the good team. I'm here. I'm in playoff positioning. He's my top rival now. Who's Nick Foles? I'm going to beat Bill Belichick. It's going to be me. It's going to be Carson Wentz's time. I'm not going to hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor once. I'm going to be all about the show. I don't actually believe that about Jonathan Taylor, but I do think, like, I mean, like, Bill Belichick destroys awful quarterbacks, and he is this is going to be ugly for Carson Wentz unless all he does is hand things off. And I don't think that that's possible. I think Bill Belichick might actually force Carson Wentz to throw the ball more. And so I don't know anyone who can rationally take Indianapolis. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know Belichick is going to scheme it up so that there's no way that Jonathan Taylor, the Colts' biggest strength, is going to beat them. Both teams are coming off a bye in this one. If you're curious, Frank Reich is 3-0 off a bye. Bill Belichick is 15-6 in his career. The Patriots have won 8 straight in the series. Do you know they've won every game since that 4th-and-2 game back in 2009? That is crazy to me. I did not think it was that lopsided.
They, I mean, like I you know, remember when, if I could make a point, when Peyton and Brady would face off, we would get the like CBS montages of everything. Like, it really is not that close. You know, like that's a thing. Like, I can only think of actually 2 Colts wins, and not Broncos wins. I can think of that one and the 2006 AFC Championship game, which doesn't get the same narrative that the 28-3 game obviously, or Super Bowl obviously does. That was a really similar collapse by the Patriots in that game, the old RCA Dome. But so yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like I think the Colts want to think like this is our rival. You know, it's not a rivalry if you lose all the time. You
yeah, know? Like it's 49ers Seahawks. The Seahawks always beat them.
I do have a non-football related question for you, if that's all right.
Last time we did this, we went into some dangerous water. What do you got?
Well, you said that Josh McDaniels left the Colts at the altar. Have you ever been at? I saw this on Reddit the other day. Have you ever been at a wedding where someone objected?
No, I have been at a wedding where the bride needed a pep talk before the ceremony began.
Whoa, were you in the wedding party? Is that
no,
how you know this?
My wife was in the wedding party, so she told me about it afterwards. Ooh,
wow, don't tell Rob's wife anything. Jeez. but wow. But so you're saying needed a pep talk like you want to do this? Like that
she was
kind
like
of...
the bride was like, I can't do this. This is a mistake. I can't do this. And you know what? They're still married. And that was like 10 years ago. So they're still married.
If,
they've got like 3 or 4
Stats's
kids.
If any of Stats' friends are listening and you got married 10 years ago and your wife is good friends with his wife, might want to have a conversation. That's all I'm saying. You know, just might want to look into that.
Look, I'm just telling it like it is. I'm just reporting facts. I don't know what the problem is here.
Interesting. If you have ever seen an objection at a wedding, let us know on Twitter. Stats is
that would be awesome.
Fire. I am on Twitter at RJ Ochoa. It would be awesome. Like, actually, all the answers on this Reddit thread were pretty lame. Like, they were like people objecting for like legal reasons, you know, like, it wasn't like, you know, like I've been in love with you since high school or something. It was, you know, it was a little bit more mundane.
What is that? Yeah. I mean, like if you decide to go that route, like, what are you saying? Unless you have like knowledge that somebody committed a crime or maybe was unfaithful, I guess that could be the only thing. But other than that, like, that is a crazy position to take.
It's a bold plan too, because you're like, what is your plan? Like, you're like in your greatest like hypothetical,
right.
the person like is like, you know what, I like what you're saying, I'm leaving, let's go get some burgers, you know, let's kick off, like, you know. So it's an interesting thing to think about.
Even in the best case scenario, you still stop them from getting married. So it's, yeah, that's a dicey situation. That's a good point by you. I don't like those very public risky position, so I would not be one objecting to a wedding. I'd be more likely to not show up to a wedding if I didn't like support it or whatever, but I wouldn't go and then object.
I've never been at one either, so thanks for caring about my life. But yeah, so I'm curious if anybody has, I'd like to hear the story.
All right, let's continue our deep dives. Now we're going to head to Baltimore. The Packers are going to Baltimore. The Ravens are getting 5 points in this game. I don't know who the quarterback's going to be for Baltimore, RJ, but I don't know if it really matters, because it's not like Lamar's been lighting it up. Your guy, Lamar Jackson, has been in Struggle City.
Wow. Now he's my guy. Interesting. If anybody you know, likes to listen to the Oddcast, it's hosted by 2 frauds. look, not a great time for Lamar Jackson from a, you know, results or health perspective. Mm-hmm. And I wish it were. I wish that the Ravens we're in a better place. I love John Harbaugh so much for going for 2 weeks ago against Pittsburgh. And I love him for doing it when he did this past week. I hate that there are people who will always refuse to understand the logic behind that, but I appreciate John Harbaugh for doing his best to educate them nonetheless. I think it's just too much for Baltimore at this point. And that it breaks my heart to say that. I think that they're just, it's a lot. I mean, what they're dealing with, you've made this point a lot. To their credit, they've hung on, they've persevered. At one point, they were the number one seed in the AFC very, very recently. But I think they might sneak in as a wild card team in the AFC still, but I don't think they can win this game. And I actually, again, this is just my nightmare right now. Really, really appreciated and agreed with Sheil Kapadia on the aforementioned podcast hosted by Two Frauds, and that I don't know why Aaron Rodgers isn't getting MVP buzz. I mean, he is amazing and inevitable, and it's stupid, and I hate it. And but, I mean, like what he did last week, in like, everybody was like, okay, you own him, let's see what you do, and then he owned him. You know, like that's like, who can do that? Like who can do that? Only he can do that. And he's so good at smelling blood in the water. With Arizona having lost on Monday Night Football and now dealing without DeAndre Hopkins for, at the very least, the rest of the regular season, mm-hmm. I don't see how the Packers aren't on track to be the one seed again, have Aaron Rodgers be the reason for that again. I mean, we've talked about a lot. I think his trade value is back, right? Like he has done that. And so he's going to be in an advantageous position in the offseason for his own leverage sake.
Even if Lamar plays in this game, I just don't have any faith that the Ravens can score enough. You know, with Tyler Huntley, they had 22 points and 389 yards. That's the most they've had in the last five games. And that is not going to be enough against the Packers. They've scored 31, 36, and 45 points in their last three games. Aaron Rodgers isn't even practicing right now because his toe is all jacked up, and he's still dicing people up out there. The only thing that I think could be an equalizer in this game is special teams. The Packers' special teams are hideous right now, and they are coming off a week, RJ, where they had four returns that they gave up of at least 30 yards. They gave up the only punt return touchdown that we've seen in the NFL this season. They had a 22-yard punt, and they kicked the ball off out of bounds. And that's not even all the screw-ups that they had in that game. When you're playing against an inferior team, special teams can swing things. That's the only way, to me, that Baltimore wins this game. Otherwise, I'll take the Packers and give the points.
And I normally hate this trope, but John Harbaugh has proven it to be valid when it comes to him. In case anybody doesn't remember, former special teams coordinator, John Harbaugh. I mean, seriously, like he is somebody who understands every nook and cranny of abilities and the confines of what you can and can't do from a talent and a rule-based perspective. So you're right. My point on top of your point is, if there's anyone who can properly, you know, swing a game in that sense, it's John Harbaugh's team. But I really wish I could take Baltimore, but I can't with a clear conscience.
And if the Packers needed any more motivation, by the way, they win the NFC North with a win. So all right, we agree there. Let's take our final deep dive of the day, and that would bring us to Tampa Bay, where the Saints are coming to town. The Bucs are favored by 11. Normally, this wouldn't be a game that I would be willing to take a deep dive on, RJ. But the Saints have given Tom Brady and the Buccaneers trouble.
They have, historically, not this iteration of the Saints, obviously. By the way, Michael Thomas jumped to Urban Meyer's defense on Twitter. Not sure if you saw that on Wednesday night. The only person
that's your character witness.
Yeah, the only person who seemingly voiced he tweeted something like, "Urban will be back, just watch," or something like that. So, interesting moment for Michael Thomas, to say the least. But I mean, I'm with you, right? Like, there's evidence to support, like, ooh, this is dicey, you know, blah, blah. But not this Saints team. And, I mean, I don't know if you watched the trailer for Home Team with Kevin James. I don't see how Sean Payton's team wins a football game after that is put out into the universe. So I am feeling very comfortable about Tampa Bay. I think they smell blood in the water, too. I think, you know, we talk so much all the time on our shows about moral wins, and I love that BLG coined the term moral loss. I think Tampa had a moral loss last week. They won the game. They, you know, learned a lesson. You know, you can't take your foot off the gas, or good teams can come back and beat you. That's a really great lesson to learn before you play a division rival who's kind of had your number as of late. So I think Tampa's going to be locked in. I think they're going to be ready. I think I will take the Buccaneers and I will give you 11 points for your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, if you're willing to do so.
Man, 11 is a lot. There are multiple lines.
I want to make you
take
the Saints. I'll give you 12. I'll give you 12.
Man, I don't think I can. There are four games this week with spreads of at least double digits. I don't know. The only way the Saints have a chance to me in this one is if they get after Tom Brady. Like, the Buccaneers have done such a good job of understanding how to construct things around him. Do you know, and I got this from Canal Street Chronicles, our Saints community here at SB Nation, Tom Brady has had 465 clean dropbacks this season. That is 63 more than anybody else in the league. But when he's under pressure, his passing grade drops to 59.1. He completes less than 47% of his passes, and his yards per attempt is less than six, which is 14th in the league. So he becomes very, very, very average if you can get pressure on him. The Saints may be able to do that, but that's their only shot in this one. The other thing is, even if they do, do I really like Taysom Hill against that Bucs defense? I don't think so. So I think I have to take the Bucs and give the points.
The Saints also, amazingly, a predictable thing that we all agreed on, that we were all right on. You know, like, the whole world is like, Sean, this Taysom Hill thing, that ain't going to work.
He's not the next Steve Young, you idiot.
Man, you took that so personally. I love that. By the way, speaking of that era of the San Francisco 49ers, the era that lost to the Dallas Cowboys in back-to-back NFC Championship games, Stats had the GOAT, Jerry Rice, on Niners Nation. So everybody should go check that out. Great job by you, Stats. Proud of you, my man.
That was, not gonna lie, like, he was the guy for me growing up. His poster hung above my bed every single day, and I looked at it, and it was like a bucket list moment to be able to talk to Jerry Rice. So yes, please and thank you, go and check that out. All right, RJ, those are our deep dives of the week, but there's still many more games to go. Do you know what it's time for?
A break.
You think we take breaks on this show? We're all gas, no breaks. Come on now, RJ.
Is it time for tea?
It's time for the Week 15 Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round!
This is going to be the Lightning Round of all Lightning Rounds. Raiders at Browns. The Browns are getting only 1 point in this one, which is crazy because they might not have their head coach and their quarterback due to COVID.
I will obviously take the Raiders. Feel badly for the Browns. Feel badly for any team that's going through this. You know, NFL teams, it's happening all across all sports, all across the world right now. Definitely some scary times. But from a pick standpoint, I'll take the Raiders.
Stay safe, everybody out there. I'll take the safe pick and the Raiders. Carolina goes to Buffalo. Bills favored by 11.
Well, I told you, Stats, before the Monday night game between Buffalo and New England, that if Buffalo lost that game, they would lose three of their next four, because their next four games were New England, Tampa, this game, and then New England again next week. And I am two-thirds of the way there. I guess I'm halfway home, because I've predicted the Bills to win. I will take the Bills to win and to cover. I'll give you 11 points if you want them.
I will take the Bills to win, but I think the Panthers are going to cover, so I will take the Panthers and the points. The Cardinals are going to Detroit. The Lions are getting 12. I don't care if DeAndre Hopkins is there or not. The Cardinals are going to be mad coming off that loss to the Rams. I will take the Cardinals and give the 12 points.
I wish I could disagree with you, but it's the Lions. But didn't these two teams tie? They tied, right, at the beginning of last season? So you never know.
I know. Take the cards, give the points. The Jets are in Miami. The Dolphins are giving 9.5 points. There's nothing good going on for the Jets right now. I'll take the Dolphins and I will give the points.
Dolphins looking to keep that win streak alive, kind of on the outside of the AFC playoff race. Probably not going to be enough, but definitely going to win this game. Definitely going to cover.
Your Dallas Cowboys are in New York to take on the Giants. The Giants are getting 11 points. Jerry Jones says Dak's in a slump. What are you going to do?
I will take Dallas. I'll give you 11 points if you want them. Dallas did cover last week and the week before, despite their poor offensive showings, because they've had back-to-back weeks with defensive touchdowns. Looks like no Daniel Jones. Looks like no Kadarius Toney, potentially. I'll be chatting with Ed Valentine at Big Blue View over at Blog of the Boys later on in the week. But the Giants are a disaster. I mean, you know, like, it's again, Joe Judge, one of those things we all agreed on. Maybe it happens more often than I realized.
Yeah, I'll take the Giants and give the points. I hate these big spreads, but like, the Giants have COVID issues. They have Mike Glennon issues.
Well, you're taking the Giants at plus 11, just to be
no,
clear?
I'm sorry. I'm taking the Cowboys.
Okay.
I'm so taking the Cowboys.
You bet against the Cowboys last week and you lost like a loser. So I just wanted to make sure you weren't going to do that again.
Washington is in Philly to take on the Eagles. The Eagles are giving 7. I don't know if it's Gardner Minshew or Jalen Hurts in this game, but I still think the Eagles are going to win. I don't know if I want the points or not, though. What do you think?
I think Washington's going to win. So we do have a level of disagreement here. So obviously, if you want to take Philly at -7, I'm going to take you up on that. But I just don't trust the Eagles, man. They beat the Jets 2 weeks ago, and it was without Jalen Hurts. The last time we saw Jalen Hurts was when they lost to the Giants. So it has it has not been a great, you know, month, last couple of weeks for Jalen Hurts. So if you want to do it, if you want to be brave enough, go ahead.
No, I think I'll take the points in Washington. Even though I think Philly's going to win the game, I don't think they're going to win it by more than 7. So that's where I'm going to go in this
one. You want to go even? You brave enough to go even? Philly, Washington?
No. We're doing the spreads here. No more manipulation.
Coward.
The Titans are in Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Ben and company are getting a point in this one. I don't like either one of these teams, RJ. I don't care what the Titans' record is. I don't love them, especially without Derrick Henry, but I also don't like the Steelers.
The Steelers are frauds. They're less fraudulent frauds than most frauds are, but they are frauds nonetheless. The way they battled back against Minnesota was somewhat impressive, but I mean, the way they got into that hole was obviously very depressing. But it's Mike Tomlin. I don't think he's going to tuck and run in December after having a week and a half to kind of stew on what's happening. I'm very interested to see how Chase Claypool plays in this game for obvious reasons. Yes. I will take Pittsburgh if you're giving me a point.
All right, I'll take the Steelers as well then. You kind of convinced me on that one, not going to lie. Houston is in Jacksonville. The Jags are actually favored in this game. Hopefully they get a boost from the firing of Urban Meyer. I'll take... No, I can't. Oh, man. I don't know. I guess I'll take the Jags.
Me too. I mean, because you can kind of see like Trevor Lawrence going off, James Robinson going off, yep. Marvin Jones going off. You can kind of see the Andy Dufresne out of the tunnel like moment for the Jaguars.
We crawled through a river of crap and came through clean on the other side.
Yeah. I mean, and plus, you know, the Texans know what they're doing. The Texans know, like, okay, guys. The tank is almost done. We can't lose sight of it now. Let's let the Jaguars have their post-urban bump. Let's let them have their feel-good moment, and let's let them ruin their first-round pick. We'll keep ours intact.
Yeah, when you let Davis Mills pilot your team for the rest of the way, that's clearly what you're doing. Cincinnati, coming off a overtime heartbreaker to the 49ers, is in Denver to take on the Broncos. Denver is giving 2.5 points in this one. This is actually a really interesting game. Every time I try to write the Broncos off, they do enough to stay in this thing.
Believe me, I have sung that song many times this season. I'm done calling them frauds. They've at least earned the right to no longer be called that. Cincinnati coming off of a tough loss against a really good football team, a really, really great football team that beat the Bengals last week. I'll say,
wow,
for no reason at all. I know there was like the almost comebacks last week, and that was kind of the theme across the NFL. Cincinnati dug that hole. And I cannot believe this. I'm going to take Denver and do so confidently. I'll give you 2.5 if you want them.
Yeah, I'll take the Bengals. I think Joe Burrow is really, really good. I don't think Cincinnati's going to muff two punts like they did last week against the 49ers. And they got a brutal taunting penalty that extended a drive. I think Cincinnati is a year early, but I still think they're good enough to beat the Broncos. Speaking of the team that beat the Bengals, that would be the 49ers. They are at home this week to take on the Falcons. The 49ers are giving 9 points in this one, RJ, and I'm just going to say it. I am taking the Falcons and getting the points because the Falcons always play the 49ers tough at home at the end of the season. It's inevitable. They beat the 2019 49ers the year they went to the Super Bowl.
I remember that vividly. I was going to bring it up myself if you didn't, but you did because you're professional. I wanted to take Atlanta and kind of surprise you and put you in a moral bind, but I will take San Francisco and give you the 9 points. You know, I like the competition. I'm excited about this, and I want you to feel a sense of loss even though the 49ers win.
Look, that's a lot of points, and the 49ers should be
better. George Kittle's on fire. I'm not afraid of this.
They should be better against Matt Ryan, considering Kyle Shanahan was his offensive coordinator. Like, I feel like they should have a good handle on what he does well, but he's always given the Niners trouble. So even though I hope the Niners win, I think they will, I don't think they're going to win by that many. And our last game of the week is in LA, the Rams giving 4.5 points to the Seattle Seahawks. Rams really surprised me on Monday night, RJ. I did not think they were going to win that game, and they played well.
They really did. And I don't know that I believe like they're back or everything has clicked. But I do believe that the Seahawks are allowing themselves to get in over their skis. Seahawks are like, we've won two in a row. Look at us. We can do this. You know, anything is possible. I could see this being like a blowout, like just an absolute domination by the Rams. I know there's the weird relationship and whatnot. You know, granted, the Rams are on the positive side of that here. Mm-hmm. But I could see that. Like, this could be the final straw for Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson in that era. This could be like, and it would be kind of poetic, would it not? Like, for the era to end with a loss to the Rams, like from a matter of fact perspective. I'll take the Rams.
I said that when the Seahawks played the 49ers and the Seahawks won that game. I will say, I feel like the Rams have started to integrate things a little. Von Miller played very well against the run against the Cardinals. Odell Beckham Jr. seems like he's scoring every week now. Like, they have already done a better job with him than the Browns did in multiple seasons. Maybe the Rams are starting to get their footing a little bit.
So you're going to take them? You agree with me?
Yeah, I'll take the Rams and I'll give the points. So how many do we disagree on this week?
We have four games stats that are on the line. Remember,
I'm going to take the lead this week is what you're saying.
I mean, if you really want to believe that lie, remember, I am up 5-3 at the moment. So just to recap for everybody, our disagreements, I have the Chargers, you have the Chiefs tonight. So Kansas City by 3 you took, so you have the favorite there. I have the other 3 favorites. I took Buffalo, you took Carolina, Bills by 11. I took the Broncos, you took the Bengals, it's Denver by 2.5. And I took the 40 whatevers. You took the Falcons. I have Niners by 9.
I mean, I don't understand why you have such disrespect for the 49ers. A class organization, a championship organization.
I hate their logo so much. I really do. I hate the like sideways oval. It's stupid to me. It's dumb. It's not a cool, it's not a logo. It's not
great. I'm not going to lie. But here's the thing. Like, what is your logo going to be when you're the 49ers? Like, it's such a weird
team
name.
It's what, look at the 76ers. It's a 4-9.
That's no, it just doesn't. 76ers just looks better.
It should also be like a thing, like whoever gets to wear number 49. Like, that should be like a thing on the team. You know what I mean? Like
they usually give it to some random person. I can't remember.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a dumb thing. Like, there should be way more that happens here, and there isn't. And so for that,
Who wants to wear 49, though? Nobody wants to wear 49.
That's a good point. But if you make it a badge of honor, it's like, you know, I mentioned the greatest school in the world, Texas A&M, the 12th man, whoever wears number 12, it's like a big thing. It's usually a walk on and it's the embodiment of the 12th man and they get to run out with the flag. So it's, and granted, 12 is a much cooler number than 49. So, you know, that's part of it. But, you know, if you make it this cool thing, it's like you are Mr. 49er, you know, that would be cool. I would like to see that. But, you know,
just curiously, how many national championships does Texas A&M have?
1939, baby. Last one. Wow. Hmm. Put some respect on that.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't worry. Number one recruiting class in the nation, by the way. Stats, no big deal. But once again, everybody, if you have seen an objection at a wedding, we would like to hear about it. Rob is on Twitter at Stats on Fire. I am on Twitter at RG Ochoa. Also, what do you think is the fastest drive through in America?
Stats. How could it not be Taco Bell?
Stats, that's so dumb.
It's like, ready right now. They've already made it.
That's really dumb. Like at Chick-fil-A, sometimes I don't even have time to put like my card back in my wallet. Like it's like, and then it's so awkward because I'm like trying to handle the card and the like food and the napkins and the drink and everything.
You get that
then,
anxiety of like, what do I do first? What's the order of operations?
Exactly. Have you ever, last thing for you, Stats, have you ever had somebody like on the phone with you if your car has Bluetooth? And been in a drive-through, because that presents a potentially embarrassing situation.
I don't like the phone on Bluetooth in the car. You have to be alone for that. If you're with anybody, I feel like just an awkward situation.
Of course. But I mean, just story time. My cousin, who is an idiot, I was on the phone with him when I drove. I was going through Whataburger actually once back. It was a long time ago, back in college. And I was, you know, I said, hang on, you know, let me place my order, whatever. And I placed my order, got my burger, my fries, my drink, whatever. And the person behind the Whataburger machine says, oh, do you want anything else? And before I could say anything, my cousin through my car goes, and a large Diet Coke. And so the person was like, oh, so you want another large Diet Coke? And I had to be all, I had to go, no, I changed my mind. So,
right, because you can't admit what happened.
Right, it was really awkward. So shout out to me and my cousin.
Sounds like you have a lot of fast food issues.
Yeah, I know. Trying to hit the treadmill, Stats. The consequences of my own action.
All right, RJ, that's going to do it for this edition of The Look Ahead. We remind you, rate, review, follow the SB Nation NFL show, smash that subscribe button on the SB Nation NFL YouTube page. We are going to be doing more and more on that as we go forward. Enjoy your Thursday, everybody. Enjoy the game tonight. Go Chiefs, because I have them. RJ, I'll talk to you next week.
49ers 7.